I had planned tonight to talk about Galatians, the first chapter, and talking about people who desert Christianity. We've been talking about Christianity these few lessons together. But it's a great thing to know there are people who live and they know what life is about. And they live it in the way so that when they come to the end, you know they didn't desert the Lord. They didn't desert His grace and His mercy. And when you think about somebody like Sheila, I think about when she came in the building, I was trying to remember exactly in my mind. Sometimes I get people tangled up now in my mind. And I know one thing, that I hugged her when she came in, and I hugged her when she went out. And I've tried to always do that. There are several reasons. I was down in Mississippi, and a man came in, and I didn't hug this fella. And while I was preaching, he started leaning over in the seat. And he came to his end. And I thought, you know, I didn't let him know I loved him before he went. And I'm not going to let that happen again. But I want you to ask yourself a question before I begin to talk about the scripture some. How would you choose for somebody to die? Have you ever thought about that? Maybe if there was a way you could choose how you would die, what would you choose for yourself, or what would you choose for somebody else? I've had family members, my grandpa who obeyed the gospel when he was 65. He taught me and led me to seeing the truth. And he got in bad shape with cancer and went in the hospital. And so, of course, I went down there to stay with him. And he was such a bad patient that they had to tie him. They still tied him to the bed in those days. They tied him to the bed. And he kept saying to me, he said, "Horsefly," he said, take that knife out and cut me loose, you know. Just cut me loose. And I said, "Grandpa, I just can't do it. I can't cut you loose. You're where you are, and this is the way life works." And I said, "You have to remember that there's a time to be born. And yes, there's a time to die." And the thing to think about when you look at that, and sometimes we fail to see this with people who've done right, we become saddened by that because there's a vacuum, a loss, and we don't know where to reach or where to turn. But when you think about the fact that here's somebody who has gained what they've been after all along, they've been trying to find that, and that's what my grandpa was after. I said, "Grandpa, you're about to get there." I was in the hospital talking to another man, and I said, "I'm praying for you," and I said, "Are you doing okay?" He said, "Well, stop praying for me because I'm just about to get well." And sometimes we fail to realize that when somebody goes, they've drawn near to God. That's what they were trying to do all along, and they've come close to God. I had an uncle who was an elder of the church for years, and he had a lot of influence on me as a young boy, and he got this Rocky Mountain spotted fever and had a stroke, and so he cried all the time and was you thought he was depressed, and I would go and talk to him. He said, "Now, Gary, don't pay any attention to these tears." He said, "I know you think I'm sad, but," he said, "they tell me when you have a stroke, you shed tears whether you want to or not." He said, "I'm not crying at all." He said, "I have given my life. I have sought the kingdom of God first." And he said, "Now I'm glad I've done that." And he said, "One day you're going to get where I am. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing." And so if we can look at life that way and see, let's turn to Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. I'm sure you realize this is where a person would come when the Apostle Paul is making a contrast here in verse 13. "But I would have you to, not be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope." So here the apostle is saying, listen, there's something I want you to know about people who passed on. I want you to know what God knows about them, how God feels about them. What God, have you ever thought about, you know more, I know more about what's going to happen to me when I die than what I know about what happened to me before I die? You ever thought about that? I know what's going to happen to me when I die. But I don't know what's going to happen to me while I'm living. And so the apostle says, I want you to know. I don't want you to be ignorant so that you won't sorrow as others that had no hope. I've told many times about a dear friend of mine had a friend who was an atheist, and he went to his funeral. And he said, that was the saddest funeral in the world. And I said, well, why was that? What was there? Was there nobody there? He said, no, there were a lot of people there. And I said, well, did nobody get up and say anything? And he said, yes, and several people got up and said things. And I said, well, what was so sad? He said, there my friend laid, dressed so nice, and nowhere to go. We've got somewhere to go. We've got something to say. Some people, when they die, it's hard to find something to say. When people like Sheila leave this world, we've got things to say, and we've got memories. I've already heard several people talk about the humor and how she would blow the car horn, scare them into traffic, and then pull up and laugh and do all sorts of crazy things like that. She was the kind of person who enjoyed life. She was a child of God, and she enjoyed. And so we need to realize that we're not here thinking about somebody who has no hope. We're looking at somebody who has great hope. Great expectation, not because she was perfect. We all know if we knew her, we know she wasn't perfect. But we know because of the grace of God and because of the love of Christ, the sacrifice that he made for us, we have this great hope. And so the apostle says in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and arose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now you think about that. The Lord's going to come back. Have you ever thought about it in time when you look at Ecclesiastes and you see how that the Bible urges us to always think about death? Because, you know, in time, you know how it is in time? You ever thought about this? In time, you know what you have said over and over and over again? You said Fred and Sheila. Fred and Sheila. Fred and Sheila. That's what we've said in time. But now we're going to say Fred. And that's going to be hard for Fred, for his family, for his grandchildren. That's in time. But think about what is going to happen beyond time, you see. This is not the end. And so we shouldn't lose heart and become discouraged and troubled and bothered when we look at the fact that the Lord is going to bring those people back when he comes again, and there's going to be a Sheila and Fred again, you see. That's the way God has planned it to be. This world is marred by sin. We come into it, and we know there's a time to be born, but we know we have got to go out. And some people know they've got to go, and they know there's a time coming. And it's like a ship in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, being let out to sea, letting go, departing, going off into the distance. That's what happens to some people when how the Bible paints the picture of that, you see. It's like grass and flowers withering down, being cut down as the day dawns upon them. Over and over we see these pictures in the Bible of your life being like a shadow, a vapor that appears a little while. It's like a war when the conflict is over and you lay the armor down beside the soldier and they go to their resting place. These are pictures we see in the Bible of what we do when we live. And when people like Sheila go their way, they go to be with the Lord. They go to be close and near to God. And so there are people who are sleeping in Jesus, you see. They're resting with the Lord. That's what they're doing. And so there's no more heartache. Have you ever, my mother has Alzheimer's, and she's always complaining about it. I said, Mom, thank God. She said, why? I said, you can't remember all the things that bother you anymore. Those things are gone from your mind. Can you imagine getting somewhere finally when all the things that troubled you, all the problems and difficulties that you face, they're gone from you, you see, because you have finally come to sleep in Jesus. Verse 15 says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, notice this is the one doing the speaking, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not, the old translation says, prevent or precede them which are asleep. The word precede is the word prevent. I always tell people when I'm in a meeting preaching somewhere, I look for those vents in the ceiling because that's where the cool air comes out, you know. Here's a picture where Sheila is going to be let out, you see. She's going to be vented, you see. Before we go, she's going to be let out. She's going to be vented. And where they put her body and her remains, that will be resurrection soil when the Lord comes. And the writer goes on to tell us this about that. Not only do we need to see that this is going to happen, but he says in verse 17, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now think about that. Think about what's going to happen. The joy and the excitement. And the trump of God sounding. And all the angelic beings coming. And this great family reunion. That's what's going to take place. And so when we put our mind on what the Bible says. And I was going to look at Galatians, the first chapter, where the Apostle Paul says, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. He's saying, listen, I'm one sent from God to tell you about the grace and peace, the grace and peace that come from God and from Jesus Christ. You know what grace is? It's undeserved. It's unmerited. You can't deserve it. You can't earn it. There's no way you can ever be worthy of it. And so God is extending this grace to any and everybody. And when we surrender to that, we know because of that grace and that peace, that harmony, that union, being whole, shalom, being at peace and healthy. That's what God promises to give to those who put their confidence and their trust and their faith in them. The apostle says in verse 18, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. My sister died of cancer. She was 42 years old. Her body shriveled up. She looked like a skeleton. It looked like her teeth even had turned black. And I was thinking, I wish I didn't know anybody this would happen to. I don't like to see people who suffer and struggle so long. My best friend in Madison, a man named Phil Bach, he started a Bible class years ago in Madison, and we still have it every week. It's the old men. We eat out in a restaurant, and Phil called that class the Romeo Club. Real old men eating out. But we get together and study the Bible, and Phil started that class. Several years ago, he got Alzheimer's. And his wife would have to go places, and I would go and sit with him. We'd put roofs on houses. We'd put rear ends in cars. We had done put plumbing in houses and put electricity in people's homes. We had worked hours and hours together. Spent many a day and night together doing something, sometime praying, sometime crying. But I'd go see Phil, knock on the door, and he wouldn't let me in because he said, I don't know who you are. And I'd say, well, your wife called me to come and visit you. And he said, well, I don't know who you are. And it just killed me to know that my dear friend had lost his ability to know me anymore. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But let me tell you what I would wish on somebody. I wish somebody would get in an automobile and drive out in the western part of our country and drive around for a couple of weeks and look at the beauty of the creation. I don't know if they saw the giant trees, the redwood trees in California and the Grand Canyon and Yosemite and the Painted Forest and I don't know what they went to see, but to spend 2 weeks driving around together, looking at what God has done, and then to come home, and because of the journey, to get home and be so tired on Sunday morning when she woke up, and she wasn't feeling good, I suspect, but probably tired, they turned the alarm off and thought they had better rest. But maybe she was feeling a little bothered already. You know what she did? Sunday night, we're here together. What does she do? She comes to the meeting house, you see. Then all this long journey probably wore completely out. She was going to come to the house of God. She came and she hugged people. She talked to people and smiled and cut up with folks. She sat on the seat and she heard the prayers and inwardly, she was saying amen to those prayers. She heard the preaching of the Word of God. And she enjoyed and loved that because that's what her life was about. And when she went out the door, the preacher hugged her again. And I'm glad I did. And before she could get to the car, she went home. She met her God in the parking lot. I wish everybody could do that. Come and worship God. Come and praise Him. Come and show your love for Him and your compassion for Him. And go out the door. And don't get too far till you meet your God and your Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those people, can you imagine? I think so often in my lifetime. I think some of you may know my son Scott was in a bad accident and cut his leg off just below his hip. And he survived that. And so I tell him every once in a while, I say, Scott, you better behave yourself because you've already got one leg in heaven. Well, you know, we need to think about the fact that we've got our anchor. Our anchor is dropped down through the veil. And even though this old world tugs on us, trouble, problems, heartaches, death, sin, division, all sorts of things struggle in the world to blow us and move us away. But we've got an anchor that is steadfast and sure that reaches through that veil. And no matter what goes on, we know with a great certainty, and the Apostle Paul was certain of these people who were having trouble. He said, I am persuaded better things of you. You know what? When somebody goes off and leaves me, I tell the Lord, I'm going to try to do better from here on. I want to see that person again. I want to be in their presence. And I want to be in the presence of God. And I want to be able to sing praises again. Well, we're glad you come tonight. It might be that somebody's here. I can't tell you how many times that I have spoken somewhere when somebody like this has passed and there's somebody in their family or somebody that's troubled or somebody had something that they knew they needed to deal with, and it made them realize that you may not get beyond that door. Have you thought about that? You may not get out into your car. Now, you think you're going to get there, but you may not get there. So if you've never obeyed the gospel, young person, you need to think about that. And you old folks who think, well, you know, I'm pretty safe. I'll wait a little bit and think it over. You don't know that either. And everybody in between that. Let's live. Let's live ready. So if we happen to go through the door and meet our Father on the other side of the meeting house, let's be ready to go. Let's go to our Father in prayer. We're thankful, oh God, to be able to be together and to be able to encourage each other as a family and to love each other. What a blessing. People in the world are longing and looking for somewhere where they can be loved and feel at home and find people who will be honest and caring. And we're so thankful because you have designed the church the way you have. And you've allowed us in such a way not to be able to pick who our brothers and sisters are. But you've allowed us to have the ability to love everyone that you have chosen. And we're thankful when we see people who have a determination to be one of those members who is always there trying to do what they can do, trying to strengthen people, fulfilling their role as a mother and as a wife, and with other family members, the connection that we have to them, so that we can leave a great influence. And we think about the fact that her family is going to long remember. If she could have ever done anything that would have left a great memory for them to always think about as they live, is remember she met her God in the parking lot. And so let's be ready, all of us, to live that kind of a life so we can pass from this world in that kind of a way. Bless us all, O God. Strengthen us. Help us to draw us closer together. Help us to make us want to go to heaven in a greater way and to finally reach that home where there'll never be a tear shed, never a disease, never a broken body, never a goodbye, never a sorrow of any kind, sickness, or a parting of any sort. Help us to overcome the world by your grace and mercy and love and kindness, and by the death of your Son who gave his life so that we might be redeemed from this present world and finally reach home with you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.